Okay, namaste. And it's good to see everyone here. Yeah, like I was saying, we have one question. Oh, we have another one coming in. We have incoming. So in one way, that's a really good thing because people are getting beyond the questioning stage and more just into the practice and getting busy with, with doing the work. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. You mentioned in a post that if it were not for your guru, that you would still be wandering, thinking you were already there. Oh, yeah. Could you describe the circumstances of your meeting your guru and why you thought you were already there? Ah, okay. Well, the universe put me together with my guru. I went kicking and screaming the whole way. Because I was like most people, that we see online and everywhere else, thinking that I could get there myself. All I needed to hear was just the right thing, And all of a sudden I was going to, everything would click into place and that would be it. But I can do it on myself, I don't need a guru, Because after all, if you're seeing light, you must be enlightened already. We all have these misconceptions. And I was at the point where, it was like channeling. You get to a point where anything you want to know in the universe, it's just there. It's either implanted as a whole conceptual image that you get, or the full knowledge about a subject will just be there immediately, or else it'll come like line on line on line on line, just in your consciousness. And so anything you want to know about, you can know about it. So you think you're there, that you have some kind of knowledge. But the key is you don't know it. It's not actualized. You're just knowing about it. Like you could be a channeler, and it's wonderful. You're channeling, and maybe everything you're saying is right, but you're like a radio receiver. Doesn't mean that you know it. It's not coming out of, your own experience. So that's what was happening with me then. Right. It was to the point where anything I wanted to know in the universe, I could know. I was seeing the lights. I was having all the phenomena, All this stuff is going on, so we want to think that we're there. Here we are in Kundalini, and, we don't know that there can be an end to the Kundalini process at that point. So you want to believe you're already there, but you're not. If you're in suffering, if the mind is still going, if you're still in suffering, you're not there. If you're still having all the phenomena, it's not there yet. You're not at that balance point. So what happened in my case was, and I'll tell you the whole story. I don't know if I've said it on these before, but I think I've said it on one of my sites, that I was living in Arizona at the time, having a very difficult time there, because this was during the part of the process where you're just so sensitive to everything. And if I had gone into any of the psychic fairs at that time, I would just see black dots just going because people were just so ungrounded. A lot of people there were really into alien stuff and things like that. It was so ungrounded. I was just, but at that point, I was where could feel what was happening in another person's body, be able to touch them, do the healing, do all this stuff, So you really think you're getting somewhere, you really know something. And you are learning a lot in the relational plane, well and good, okay. But it does nothing to bring you that peace and that still center, which is so important. So I was living in Arizona, and I would go to this place called Changing Hands Bookstore all the time, looking for that one book, you know, just that one thing that you need to hear. And I go in, and I see these tapes sitting there, and I look sometimes through the tapes, look for music, and it has this thing, Satsang with Rajiv. I'm looking at this thing like I'd go to that Yahoo. If he was the last person on the face of the planet, I wouldn't go there. I don't need no stinking guru, you know? This is the thought process is going in. And so life goes on. And I left, and I was in California for a while, and then finally I got my disability monies. And the minute I got it, I booked a flight to India because I knew I had to go to India. That's where my process was going to complete. I just knew it. Wasn't that I was enamored of India. Not at all. I had no big burning desire that it was, you know, the spiritual mecca of the universe. You know, but I knew that for whatever reason, it's where I had to go. But I was still lost in that other thing of thinking, oh, I needed the tantra and this sexual thing, and you need to balance the energies, and it needs to, you know, I was in all that mindset as well. So I had met somebody online. He's an author. He's got some books out. He said he knew all about tantra, yada, yada. So I went and was going to go see this person. They lived in Lucknow. He was giving a talk in Delhi, so I was flying in to meet him. Well, I get to the airport, and there's a bookshop, and I get this book on, you know, spiritual teachers and things in India. And they had one about this spiritual teacher, Punjaji Papaji. He's very well known in Lucknow. Well, he's already passed. So I said, well, it's pretty safe to go to that ashram. I can just go see what it's like because he's not there and there's nobody, you know. I'm pretty safe. There's no guru there, so I'm okay. You know, I can go there. So I got that book when I was just before I got on the plane and was reading about it. So anyway, I get into Delhi, and this guy's talking, and he's all about trying to bring spirituality into the workplace. And it told everybody there I flew in just to see him for this talk, and which was not true. So anyway, he lived in Lucknow, and we went back to Lucknow. He helped me to find a place to live, and which was good. But I saw very rapidly he really knew nothing about Tantra. His family were, you know, classified as tantrics, but he really knew nothing. So I decided, well, since I'm in Lucknow anyway, I'll go check out this ashram. Okay, no problem. I go in and they say, well, we're having bhajans tonight. Special program. You want to come? I watched a quick video about Papaji. Okay, you know, all right, that's fine. But I like bhajans, so I'll go, you know. So I went, and I walked in that night, and here's this guy, and he's playing the music, and he's singing the bhajans, and I took one look at him, and he took one look at me, and that was it. He knew that, you know, that was the reason I was there. He had something to give to me, and he took a look at me, and he just smiled. And so after the concert was done, he came over and we started talking, and he took the rickshaw with me, made sure I got home okay. And in the rickshaw, here we go, and, oh, why are you here? Oh, I'm looking for a tantric teacher. Come to find out, he'd been taught by three tantric masters. He was, in fact, himself a tantric master. And but that's not where he got realization. Realization, he said, would come through Papa. Now, his father was realized as well, so he thought he would get it through his father, but it didn't come through there. And the tantric masters told him, you're not going to get realization through us, you'll get it through Papa. So when he met Papa G, in fact, everything clicked and came together, and everything fell And he entered realization through that. So this is the one, Rajiv, is the one that became my guru. And in fact, he did teach me about Tantra. I'm the one that he passed his tantric knowledge on to. But the Tantra is not the big thing to take you to realization, okay? So I don't speak about it too much because people, unfortunately, and this is one thing we're trying to dispel, is this thing that it's so much all sexually, you know, has to do with all the sex. And there can be some physical things in it, but it's not geared towards what they're teaching here. Okay, that's another thing entirely. But I get there, and he reads the things that I've written, and they're fine. And he goes, well, if you actually believe this, then you're already realized, you know. And here I am, you know. Pull myself up a notch. And the next second he turns around and looks at me, and the eyes are just glowing. You idiot! You fool! You know nothing! Who the hell do you think you are? And I mean, as loud as he could in my face. And at that point, I was just like, I couldn't speak. I was literally mute for a day and a half. I couldn't open my mouth. I'd open my mouth and all come out was, literally, I couldn't talk. And it shocked my system so much that I started to go within. And of course, the time that it took place, I thought he was the worst person on the face of the planet, you know. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Arrogant, you know. But it caused me to go within. And it started the point of questioning into self-inquiry. Very, very deep self-inquiry. What is this I that is holding this in place? What is the mind? What is holding these feelings in place? What's holding this emotion in place? And it started to cut the knots. Until liberation was arrived at. And the Kundalini, the phenomena, ended. Once you go into the absolute, it's not motion of energy. Energy motion is Shakti. Kundalini is Shakti. When you go to that still point, that's the zero point balance. You've entered that stillness. It's merged. Now you've come to that balance. Balance point. Things were going along, you know. I was with him for a time. I was very fortunate at that time he wasn't working with anyone else there, so I had his undivided attention. Very short time. It was only about a month and a half, maybe. We were together a month, month and a half. It was enough. I was ripe, ready to break through. And he was very good at breaking through things, you know. So anyway, I went to his place one morning. And here he is. He had this old gentleman would come over and they would sing bhajans together in the morning. And I walked in his place and I looked down and here was the tape. Satsangs with Rajiv. Yes. The universe, in its infinite wisdom, set me up with the very Yahoo that was the last person on the face of the planet I would go to. And I didn't recognize him when I had went. I didn't recognize that's who it was until I saw the tape. And I told him about it. And we had a good laugh. So that's how I met my guru, and that's how things were broken through. And it's born up. You know, it was after things had transcended that I also read where Sri Ramana Maharishi also said that self-inquiry will break through the knots, and it takes one to the realization. So this is, in fact, you know, if I hadn't had the self-inquiry of stopping and questioning, you would still be chasing the phenomena. Because the whole process is to look at who and what you are, and more importantly, who and what you are not, you know, and to cut through those identifications. So self-inquiry is really, really, really so important on the Kundalini journey. The Kundalini keeps bringing up all this stuff to be looked at. It keeps stirring the mud. Emotional, all these patterns keep coming up to be seen. And because things are so magnified in Kundalini, it's a little easier to see the patterns as they're coming up. Okay. But the thing is, you know, not to get caught up in the phenomena. All phenomena is Shakti. It's divided. It's divisionary. It's, you know, the relational world. We want to get beyond that and get beyond the mind. Everything is created and held in place by mind. We need to get beyond the mind into that still point. And then we understand. In order to understand the world, you have to go beyond the world. Okay. So once you have that moment beyond the world, then you understand what's here. And as we spoke on, I think it was last week, about about then spending the time to come back into consciousness and to settle. To settle. Yes, one is blown out. Okay, and then non-duality is absolutely paramount. But we need to come back to zero-point balance, you know, where it's not either or. Okay. Because there's no reason that we need to throw away the world. We don't need to throw away anything. Okay. So, yeah, that's I hope that help to answer that. Yeah, we have these little illusions along the way, you know, and this is one thing I talk about in the film first thing is, yeah, the first time we see lights, we think we're enlightened. So, you know, it's just, we just don't recognize, because we're not there, we don't know the whole of the journey, and we'll get caught on some little segment of it. When we read realization, or when we reach realization, do we stay in the ashram or go out like you did into the world? Well, when realization is entered, then of course you'll go out and you'll work in the world in whatever capacity, you know, that you're doing. Not everybody is going to be a guru of another ashram. That's not necessary. But whatever field or endeavor you in, you can do your work. Doesn't mean that you're kicked out of here and you have no connection. Of course, you could stay here if you want, you know. But just, it doesn't matter, wherever you find yourself, you'll be working with the world to move them forward. So each of us has our path, or what we're set out to do, you know. For some here, maybe you'll go on to be gurus. Yes, you don't get out of it. Don't look at my drugs. Oh, God, no, please. No, no, you're set for that. You can't get out of that one. But other people have other things that they'll be doing in other aspects. But yeah, would like to see more places grow up, and definitely helping more people involved in doing the energy work for people, and helping, as you progress, start to do the energy work and come in and work with me learn how to do balancing for people and, you know, move forward. Yeah. Like in Rich's case, doing the movies and stuff. I mean, that's a great tool also, you know, to work with humanity. And as you progress and the consciousness starts to change, the way you video, you know, the way that your movies unfold will be different as well. You know, you'll start seeing more in-depth things to do. You know, so everyone has a little different focus. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe some of you will go out and have another ashram will spring up or another center. And that's good too. You know, we need to have more couples involved to show that it can be done as a couple. You know, that's wonderful. Like to see more of that taking place. Is it bad to always be thinking of reaching enlightenment? Will doing so prevent you from going forward? If so, how do you not think about that as the ultimate goal? Well, it's more important to relax into the moment, because if you keep thinking about enlightenment, that's not it, okay? And just keep thinking about it is keeping you separate from lapsing into, because it's a process of dissolving. You're not gaining your way there. You're dissolving what's keeping you from it. It's just your natural state of being, okay? So it's nothing you're going to reach. It's not something you're going to attain. You're not going to learn your way there. You're not going to, you know. It's about continuing to relax, continuing to do mantra, continuing to stay in the moment. What comes up, you question. What is this I? What is mind? What holds emotion in place? Question, question, question. Cut the knots. Insights will continue to arise. You know, the path will continue to unfold. But it's a process of surrendering. Surrendering, letting go, letting go, letting go. Trusting the universe to bring in what you need at the right timing. So yeah, don't keep so much focus on, I've got to get realization, I've got to get enlightenment. It's your natural state of being. Okay? So the more you can relax into it and just continue to do the process and allow it to unfold, the quicker you'll get there. Okay. What is the alien phenomena that so many people, including myself, have experienced? Whose question is this?
I haven't been aboard a UFO or anything, but I have woken up in the morning and I have had a few instances where I've seen those guys hovering over me, whatever. And it's usually like one of those, what do they call that sleep? Yeah, but I mean, it's very, I'm waking up as it's happening. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very, very real. And no, it's beyond lucid dream. I've had lucid dreams where I'm in control of my dream, but this is a little bit different. And there's a word for that. Sleep apnea? No, I forget the name of it. Sleep paralysis, yes. Uh-huh. That's kind of what it is more than anything. And so I think that's what a lot of other people, too, have experienced. So I'm just trying to figure out what that might be. I don't think it's physical aliens coming down. But
okay, so you're not actually seeing a physical alien or something. You're seeing it. Well, what are you seeing? What is it looking like?
Well, they look like the ones you see, you know, the ones with the big heads and the big eyes. You know, it's probably because I watch too much X-Files, but the thing is it happens when I'm starting to wake up in the morning, I'm not quite awake, I'm not sleeping anymore. It's that that state in between, and I kind of think that's what maybe some of the people have experienced, too.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I mean, you know, people can see all sorts of things. You can see the Ascended Masters. You can see Christ. You can see aliens. You can see, you know, There are other things in the universe, definitely, and things can be seen, but there's nothing to fear. I think sometimes, you know, the people have heard these things as well. And then you have that moment where you're consciously awake, but the body's still sleeping, and so you think you're paralyzed. You know? Okay, and if you're in fear, then you're going to manifest seeing something as well. It doesn't mean that you're being, you know... So just, you know, go ahead and breathe into it and recognize, okay, the consciousness is awake and the body's still asleep. And just witness the body being there, that's all. Okay, just see that you're consciousness, you're not this physical form. Okay, so there's nothing to fear in any of the journey because there's nothing that any of these things can, you know, somebody was saying something about that. The other day, I don't know, I'm trying to, but yeah, there's nothing to fear in any of this. You know, what is within every being is absolute. Your natural state is being that seed of the absolute. Okay, and that's perfection as it is. That's the light beyond all lights. You know, so why to open yourself up to shadows and fears when it's not needed? Okay? Let go of the shadows and the fears. They have no hold unless you give it. Unless you give it the attention and give it the reality. Okay? So don't give shadows and fears the attention and give them substance. Okay. And when these things come up and these whatever energy patterns are shifting, don't name it anger, don't name it this, don't name it that. Just see it as a shift in energy and diffuse it. And then question. Am I this body? Am I this mind? What holds this in place? And go deeper, deeper into it. Okay. The things you're given, like the mantras and things, are there to help to, you know, move forward the vibrations, to raise the vibrations as well, and as well as to give a point of focus, to a way to allow you to keep coming back to center. Okay. So we do those as points of reference. And then allow the mind to still. And just keep staying in witness state and see these patterns as they come up. And then you have a point to begin to question. Okay. Through the self-inquiry. And when enough of the knots are cut, then you can't resist any longer. And then you're pulled into, by grace, okay, into self-realization. And you find out that it's always been present. It's like when you had that momentary glimpse where it's just perfection and it simply is and it's so simplistic. When the mind is not there to keep you separate from it and there's just pure awareness and all of these divisionary things and blockages have dropped, then you're one with whatever's taking place, and it's just a bliss. A natural bliss just rises and is there.
The biggest thing I took away from that experience was it had nothing to do with becoming or gaining it. It was simply just about you being already it and just realizing it.
Right.
You know, getting rid of the stuff that's keeping you from seeing that.
Right.
And being that.
Right. It's just a process. Right. It's just a process of letting go of the things that are covering it over. It's already there. So I said you can't be separate from God. It's impossible or else you'd have no life. You know, it's already there. It's the essence of your being. This is how things manifest. How can you manifest things? Whether it's the fear or whether it's the good or whatever is being manifest, because you're that infinite potential, that divine seed state of infinite potential. Okay? Mind is the tool that moves it into whatever projection that is being sent. So quit fueling quit fueling fear, quit fueling these things. There's no need to. Okay. Oh, what is this? It's the satsang joke of the day. Let's put this in. Question, how many enlightened people does it take to screw in a light bulb? Answer, none. There's no bulb, only God. Well, whoever put in the satsang joke of the day, thank you. Okay, it was you. You're the one that's... the Oh, mercy. How fun. Yep, there's no one there to screw in the bulb with the realized being, yes. Yeah. A little satsang humor. And on that note, that was the end of our questions today. And if there are no questions, nothing comes up in the field. Nothing's coming up in the field to speak about. So we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll just spend a little more time in meditation today. So we'll go ahead and take a break. There are a lot of strawberries. Today was a strawberry day. A lot of people brought strawberries today. So we have a lot of strawberries and teas out there. So take a break and have some strawberries and tea, and then we'll reconvene for meditation. Thank you. Namaste.